And hello, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us. My name is Will Johnson, riding shotgun. With me is my producer, Shannon. She makes sure everything keeps on track and everything's in control here. I'm just riding along, really, really. She does all the work. Hey, trust me. She does everything in the background. She makes everything happen.
She is not lying.
Hey, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much. Now, I did a little short video, Shannon, before we came on here, just, you know, telling people, hey, we're going to talk about some information, some sensitive information.
Right.
That, you know, on Facebook, you really can't talk about it. You have to be really cryptic about it.
You do. You walk on eggshells.
You have to be really cryptic about it because if they hear you talking about the stuff, I'm like, oh my goodness, listen to what he's talking about. How dare he say this? How dare you put this information out there? Are you, especially on Facebook, do you think we're Twitter? Do you think we're Twitter? We don't have an Elon Musk. We have a Mark Zuckerberg. But anyways, hey, everybody. Now, I did put I do have the phone line open. If you want to give us a call, please give us a call. The phone line is open, 319-527-3453, if you want to give us a call and chime in about what we're talking about today. One of the first stories we're going to talk about today is Paul Pelosi. We gotta talk about it. We got to talk about it. We got to talk about it because the left, they're pushing a narrative that's not even there.
Yeah, that's the only reason why I want to talk about it is because they're spinning it to be something that's really not.
Yeah, exactly. I
mean, they lie about narratives all the time. I'm so sick of it.
Yeah, it's not even what they're saying is like, oh, really? What does this have to do with anything what they're saying? It has nothing. It's not even related. They're trying to say Paul Pelosi is political. Is Paul Pelosi, is he in politics? Or is he just, you know, having, I call it, you know, sex rings. I mean, you keep pushing back on it. But I've actually had conversations with people offline, and they're even asking me, Will, do you think this was a sex ring?
Well, listen.
And I'm like, you know what? Thank you for seeing what I'm seeing here. Because the way they're spinning this.
Because
I'm a guy. Yeah. What's that guy doing anything? Have you? I guess you haven't read 50 Shades of Grey.
I haven't, actually.
Well, maybe you should.
Okay, here's the thing. I do agree, and you and I both agree, that something is not right about the situation. You brought up the fact that here they are millionaires. They have alarm systems. They have, you know, big old wall around their house or whatever. And yet, none of those alarms were set off.
So, yeah.
The only way that the cops came was through Paul calling
so
the police,
let's,
correct?
Let me say this.
Okay.
So
his story.
This is how it's been reported, that the alarm system that the Pelosi's have in the home was not set off. The police were not informed of a break-in until the phone call came from Paul Pelosi. Now, my question is, they show the glass at the back door where it was busted out, where you can see glass on the outside of the home as well on the inside of the home. The question is, if he broke in, why didn't the security system notify the police officers, notify the police authority to show up to the home? Because there's a break-in taking place.
Right.
That's typically what happens.
Right.
Multi-million dollars, high profile, and the cops don't get alerted by that. So how long had that been that in that position before the cops actually showed up? And then on top of that, when the cops do show up.
Politico reported. Right.
What?
That there was a third person that opened the door.
The left-leaning Politico.
Right.
Let me repeat that again. The left-leaning Politico.
They're no longer reporting that, by the way.
Yeah. So I guess they got fact-checked by themselves.
Right. And then.
And basically all they did was. So where did they get that information from that there was a third person?
I don't know. But here's my whole problem with the whole story. First of all, they said that he broke in to hurt Nancy's kneecaps.
Where is Nancy?
But here's the thing. He literally showed up with no weapon.
Where is Nancy?
So what was his plan on doing that? How was he going to facilitate that action if he didn't bring a weapon? Apparently he brought zip ties, which somehow ties him to January 6th, which makes no sense. But you know what I'm saying? So that to me was kind of weird. I was like, why would you show up and not have any kind of weapon? He took the hammer, supposedly, from Paul and used it against Paul, which I guess he really didn't start the hammering until the police got there.
How do you know?
Well,
how do you know you weren't there?
According to one of their stories.
How do you know? How do you know he wasn't hammering Paul before
then? Okay, Will. Okay, guys. If there's anybody out there that wants me to slap him or hit him, I won't slap.
How do you know? So let's just get this straight. So David, the guy's name, David hammered Paul Pelosi while the back door was smashed in.
Okay.
You can't make this up.
Yeah, you're making it up. Well, in a sense.
No, I'm straight up telling the truth.
That's what they're saying happened. Like, this is a shifty parody going on here.
No, wait a minute. Have you not seen the video footage? They got a helicopter video footage of the back door being smashed in.
They did say that that's how he entered, correct?
Yeah. But then when the cops showed up, and then they wouldn't even tell us who opened the door.
Right, but here, and so then,
why won't they tell us who opened the door?
They both reported that they were in their underwear, la la la. Now they're not reporting that
anymore. At 2 o'clock in the morning, the reporter, both of them were in the underwear.
The guy's part of a nudist colony, so maybe that's just how he.
So he just showed up in his underwear.
That's his daily attire.
He just showed up in his underwear. I wonder how many of y'all out there actually believe that this was just let me rephrase it like this. How many of you out there believe that this has anything to do with January the 6th?
Yeah, I don't.
Can I get a show of hands right now? So I don't see any hands.
All laughing set aside, you know, to be honest, what I don't like about this story is the fact that they're making it look like this was an extreme right winger that came in and is attacking Pelosi, targeting Nancy Pelosi because of the GOP ads and the GOP rhetoric.
Yeah, they actually
understand. They're saying that we're the ones that are having.
They're saying it's inciting violence because the GOP ads are showing all the violence because of the policies of the Democrats. This cashless bail. And speaking about the cashless bail, David, the one that supposedly, allegedly broke into the Pelosi's home. There's no cashless bail option for him.
Well, that's what they're asking for. Yeah, they're asking for no cash.
So why would they do that? I think personally, they're trying to silence him.
No, I agree with that. And that's another thing.
They're trying to silence him. Yeah. Hey, we can't have him going out there talking about, we were having a party.
Party. But I just don't like the way they spin it. And Tucker Carlson did a report on it last night. And we actually, before Tucker reported on it, we had already gone out there and researched other investigative reporters that had talked to this guy David's neighbors and an ex-girlfriend, and all of them seemed to think that he aligned with the liberal left. He even lived in an abandoned
like a mobile home, right?
No, it's a bus, literally a bus, a school bus.
Oh, it's literally a white school bus. Oh,
yeah. Literally.
I thought it was just like a mobile home, but it's a school bus.
It's a school bus.
Oh, wow. Really? Yeah,
probably a short one.
Actually, it is short. Because I thought it was just, I didn't even, you know, I just brushed over
Anyways,
it. I didn't
it
even
had
pay attention.
BLM
I thought it was
flag
a mobile home.
On the back of it. And then it had an LGBT flag hanging on the other side of it. And Tucker Carlson is like, so these are all things. He's like, these are facts that no one can contest. These are all true. Who do you believe? What does this sound like? Does this sound like a leftist or does this sound like a right wing winger? But here's the thing. The only thing that all the leftist media is talking about, Will, is this guy's social media, which none of us can confirm. They're not showing any of it to us.
We can't
look
at it.
They're just telling us what it says. They're telling us what this guy's intentions are. But the way he lived and everyone that they interviewed that knew him is completely in contrary to what the leftist media is reporting.
So listen to this. This is the attorney general out of San Francisco talking about that she's requesting that he does not get the cashless bail option. Now, let me remind everybody, there's been hardened criminals that have been able to get this cashless bail option, go back out on the street and murder somebody. But this guy, he was, Nancy, where's Nancy? Wanted to break her kneecaps, not actually murder, but I guess because of the hammer, now it's premeditated murder, right?
Well, okay. They didn't say premeditated, but they did say it was
attempted murder,
literally he was hitting him on the head with a hammer.
Okay,
so
yeah, I guess
premeditated means that he went there to kill, but that's not even
it. Yeah, so it was just a sex ring went bad. Okay, but anyways, listen to the attorney general out of San Francisco.
As for next steps, the defendant is expected to be arraigned tomorrow afternoon. My office will be filing a motion to detain him without bail. And that is based on what is obvious and severe public safety risks that the defendant poses to San Francisco, as well as the outer community.
So all these other people that were obviously a threat to society, why did they still let them out? Some of these people were in jail because they stabbed somebody with scissors, stabbed somebody with a screwdriver, even attempted to try to shoot somebody, but then they let them back out on cashless bail.
Yeah, you know, we just saw a story yesterday, I think it was on Twitter. I saw a story where there was a young man that walked into this girl, worked at like a furniture art type store, and he had murdered her.
He stabbed her.
Stabbed her. They let him out on cashless bail. Well, just the other day, that guy that they let on cashless bail shot a cashier clerk, point blank killed her. And the family's like, of course, devastated and crying. And my heart's breaking for them, because why was he out? This, you know, they're saying that they let the cashless bail only applies to people that don't.
Who can't afford the bail.
They say they aren't. Charged with hot with crimes, like, but murder is.
But that's a total lie when they say
it
that.
It is a total. They always lie, Will. Yeah. That's my whole problem. When I'm listening to the media more, I'm more and more frustrated, because I'm sitting here going, the liberal media lies and changes the truth all the time. And if people are not smart enough to go seek the truth for themselves, that's the garbage that they're listening to. And that's the garbage that they use when they go to the polls or to the voting booth.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's some more garbage. And this is on MSDNC. Listen to this garbage. They're literally trying to make this attack, right? They're talking about this attack on Pelosi. This is the far right. This is the far right doing the attacks on Pelosi. And if you want to give me a call to chime in on this, because I'd like to know what you think. Because between Shannon and I think that it was a sex ring went bad. Shannon's not saying that. So give me a call and tell me what you think.
I'm saying I don't know what it was, but I don't believe that he was there to intentionally hurt Nancy Pelosi. I think
so. I listened to Jesse Waters last night. Uh-huh. And he was talking about, and to my understanding, the recording's out there, but Paul Pelosi was actually referring to David as a friend. I'm telling you. But anyways.
Now, like I said, I just don't like to jump to say that's what they were doing. I'm giving it my opinion. But I do believe that there's something fishy about the whole thing, and they're twisting it to use for their own narrative ahead of elections.
Yeah.
And it's to, they want to make.
Yeah. They're trying to control the narrative. Yeah. They're trying to control the narrative.
Saying that they caused this, because it is unfortunate what happened to Paul Pelosi. Don't get me wrong. That's awful. It's awful that happened to him.
It's completely horrible. So if you want to give me a call and chime in and tell me your opinion on it, 319-527-3453. And I think my producer, I think you put it in the chat, right?
I did.
Okay. So listen to MSDNC as they completely try to spin this story. This is demons protecting demons.
A review of David DePape's online accounts shows he was part of a far-right world of hate, anti-Semitism, and conspiracy theories involving anti-vax hysteria, voter fraud, and many of his posts published in the past few months. But don't look at that. Ignore the fact that these right-wing screeds line up with the biggest lies propagated by Trump and Trumpists.
You hear this?
He was deranged, after all. I mean, just isolated. Never mind the fact that cult leaders and fascists prey first on the weakest, most vulnerable among us. In short, deranged people that they inspire with hate and hardwire for violence against their enemies. But ignore all of that, say Republicans. After all, this political attack was just another example of rampant random crime.
Really? Really? You hear this, right? Says Republicans. You know what? She goes on to say that, you know, the crime is just crime. And the reason why she's saying all of this is because of all of the ads that the GOP has been putting out there showing the policies of the Democrat Party, how they have created the cashless bill and all of this, and they don't want people to pay attention to it. They've actually called on the GOP to stop running ads. Stop running campaign ads right before the election. You've got to stop running these ads. Really? Like the ad is doing something? She's suggesting because people watching the ads of all the violence that the Democrats have been portraying is the fault of Republicans. Because Democrats have put in policies to push this crime, to allow this crime to happen, they're blaming Republicans.
You know, once again, I think the media is overplaying it, and I think the people really don't care, to be honest. I don't even think Democrats really care. They got bigger issues to really deal with. And with that, we can use that as a segue with our breaking news today, Will. So today, there's an article on Fox News that says this. It says the U.S. and Saudi Arabia are on high alert over intel of an impending Iranian attack. This is pretty crazy. It says the United States and Saudi Arabia are on high alert after Saudi intelligence shared with the U.S. indicated that Iran is expected to carry out an attack on targets in Saudi Arabia. There's also U.S. airbase in Iran that was also named as an attack target, and they are right now on high alert. It says Air Force Brig General Pat Ryder said Tuesday during a press briefing that the U.S. remains concerned about the threat situation in the region and is in regular contact with Saudi officials. He says, we will reserve the right to protect and defend ourselves no matter where our forces are serving, whether in Iraq or elsewhere, Ryder said, declining to give information on what the specific threat was. Says Iran has warned Saudi Arabia against covering the protests of the Farsi news stations and has accused Saudi Arabia, Israel, and the U.S. of being responsible for them. This is our last warning because you are interfering in our internal affairs through these media, said Major General Hossein Salami, said in remarks reported to Iranian state media. According to the journal, you are involved in this matter and know that you are vulnerable.
This is huge.
So they're saying because of what's happening in Iran, they're saying that we somehow have a part in it.
This is huge.
And they're going to hold us responsible for it because there's a revolution going on over there right now.
And this is the same country that is funding Russia with suicide drones, correct?
Yeah. Actually, there's even been reports that the Iranian Revolutionary Army is actually shooting off.
Operating them. They're operating them into Ukraine.
Right. They're actually now, on the ground in Ukraine alongside Russians.
So now they're going to take the same regime, and now it looks like they're going to do the same thing with Saudi Arabia and even possibly start trying to go to Israel. And Israel's having their elections today.
That's right. Israel is. There's another article on Reuters. It says that the United States is concerned about the threats against Saudi Arabia and will not hesitate to respond if necessary. It says we are concerned about the threat picture and we remain in constant contact with military and intelligence channels with the Saudis. The spokesman for National Security Council said we will not hesitate to act in defense of our interests and our partners in the region. Now, believe it or not, Will, Joe Biden is still continuing his talks about the Iranian deal, even with all this happening. He says the Iranian talk deal has not stopped.
So maybe this is Biden's way of getting back at Saudi Arabia for allowing us to know that Biden asked them to not shut down the drilling until after the election. But they let us know that that's what they were doing. So maybe this is Biden's way of getting back at them.
At the same time,
it would not surprise me.
Yeah. At the same time, remember last week, what happened? We reported that the FBI was warning that Iranian hackers are active ahead of our elections and they may be trying to interfere with our 2022 election, so my question is the 2020 election.
Yeah, so my question is, who are they helping here? Who are they helping?
And you know, I said, who are they helping? Because it wouldn't be in their interest for them to help Republicans.
No, it wouldn't be at all. Not at all.
So whose interests are they actually interfering with? It sounds like they would be more aligned with the Biden administration.
Yes.
Or wanting, not aligned, but wanting, because they're weak.
Yeah, because they're weak, for one.
Right.
And if the Biden regime is still going to work out this deal with them, why wouldn't they want them there? Right? Why wouldn't they want that to, they wouldn't want that to be prevented, because they're going to get more money to be able to build more suicide drones. And that's exactly what they want.
Right.
So why would the Biden administration, you know, why would they want us to believe that they're going to be against the Democrats?
Yeah. And supposedly there's been talk that Iran would use some proxy to attack the United States. And perhaps Saudi Arabia is that proxy to attack United States, because if they attack Saudi Arabia, it is attacking the United States. They said they would get involved.
Yeah.
Because we have interest there.
Yeah, because we have interest, even though we're not getting oil that much from them right now, but we do have interest.
See, and that's like what's all backwards, right? Like I sit here and I think, what is Biden doing, right? So if he's really trying to put sanctions against Saudi Arabia now, who he admitted that the intel or, you know, our
against Iran?
No. He's upset because Saudi Arabia is not giving us oil, and they were talking about doing sanctions against Saudi Arabia in retaliation for them shutting down the oil. He was going to ask Congress, you know, to step in and come up with some way to retaliate against Saudi Arabia. But yet, if they're attacked, we know that we have interest there, so we'll protect them. But on the same hand, we're still going forward with the Iranian deal, and that they did put some sanctions against Iran, I guess. Because of
the women and how they're apprehending women because they're showing their hair.
Yeah.
Right.
But this is a big mess.
It's a total mess.
It's a total
mess. Like we're seeing how World War III is coming about. Because as I mentioned, I did a little short video before I came on here, and I've talked about this multiple times. Before World War II started, and a young man actually called me and let me know about this, because I didn't even know. And I looked it up. And before World War II, there was proxy wars throughout the world. Proxy wars here and there.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, here and there. And now we're seeing the exact same thing, right? Proxy wars happening, constantly happening. And if you believe in the Bible, there's going to be a third world war. And it even refers to it. So I think we're seeing it unfold. We're seeing it happen. And if they start attacking Saudi Arabia, and with Ukraine and Russia still going on, things are going to pop off, because Israel's going to get involved too. I can see Israel getting involved as well.
Well, actually, yeah, there's an article, you know, because Israel is coming out and saying that the whole world is in danger with what is happening in Ukraine, with Iran joining Russia forces.
Uh-huh.
Right. So they're putting this warning out too. It's kind of gotten quiet because, like you said, they're in elections. There's an election today. We're Netanyahu.
There's an election in Israel. Yep. And last I heard, he was
slightly ahead
in the lead.
I heard.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. There's been stuff going on in Israel too. Probably.
And then we have our elections here, which, you know, and then instead of they want us to focus on all of this other stuff, but we have world events taking place and people are not even aware of it. That's what we do here. We try to bring you information that the mainstream media is possibly not even talking about.
Yeah. From what I understand, like Russia, you know, because Israel said that they stand with Ukraine, that what's happening is wrong. However, Russia's upset with them standing with Ukraine, and they are one way that Israel gets their oil, right? So they're saying, hey, Israel, stay out of it. But then Ukraine is also upset with Israel, even though they're supporting them, because they won't give them their, what's their systems where they shoot the missiles?
The Iron Dome.
Yeah, they won't give them
that, the technology.
The technology or some of the
Why would you give them the technology? Because if you give them that technology, they'll find a loophole.
Right. So they're upset with them because they're not helping them out with.
You know, they actually went to the United Nations about that. They went to the United Nations complaining that Israel is not sharing that technology with them. And Israel said, why would I share that technology with you when you're trying to destroy
exactly.
us?
Exactly. I mean, that's
it don't make any sense.
That really has protected them.
Yes.
In that region where yes. there's enemies surrounding them everywhere.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I wouldn't want to give it out either.
No, you can't give that out.
Right. Right. Craziness is happening over there. And it is interesting to see how it unfolds. In addition to that, you have China now upset. It says the U.S. to send B-52 bombers to Australia in move. China warns about trigger arms race. Well, we talked about this the other day, how we were sending nuclear missiles to update our
NATO
arsenal up there, right?
It
says China this week said U.S. plans to send B-52 bombers to Australia could trigger an arms race as the U.S. looks to beef up its regional security resources. Royal Australian Air Force Base Tyndale has long been home to U.S. B-52 bombers, but China's foreign ministry took issue with the U.S. plans to send up 6 nuclear-capable B-52 bombers to the base in northern Australia. It says that it gravely undermines regional peace and stability. China urges parties concerned to abandon the outdated Cold War zone some mentality and narrow geopolitical mindset and do more things that are good for regional peace and stability and mutual trust among all parties. Give me a break, China.
Yeah.
They're trying to dominate. They're trying to dominate militarily and economically around the world. We just talked about yesterday how they're interest in buying resources up in Russia. They're
also buying land here
in the United States.
Yep.
And America is really dependent on them for goods. I mean, it's crazy how this one little country.
And China Joe, Beijing Biden, is allowing it to happen, and he's pushing it even more. It's the same thing, like they're draining our national reserves, and they're sending our national reserves to China. China is wanting world domination. And like you just mentioned, China, they have bought up so much land in the United States of America. A lot of our debt we owe to China. Think about that. So if China came and said, we want you to pay up, that's how wars get started too. China could come to us and say, pay up. We're immediately broke. Immediately. Because the deficit is over $3 trillion right now.
Right.
I'm sorry, $31 trillion. $31 trillion right now. We're over. And they're allowing China to just buy up everything. And now it's happening in Russia. It's happening in Russia. Yep. You know what? It's already happened in parts of South Africa. It's already happened in parts of Australia.
True.
It's happened in parts of India. And they're doing this globally.
Yep. Listen to this. The Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, described China as the only competitor out there with the intent to reshape the international order and increasingly the power to do so. The NDS bluntly describes Russia as an acute threat, and we chose the word acute carefully, Austin said. Unlike China, Russia can't systematically challenge the United States over the long term, but China can.
Yeah. Yeah, they really can. They really can. So, and we're just giving them the keys to the kingdom.
Man, I mean, the world's in chaos.
So instead of instead of talking about Paul Pelosi 24/7 trying to make the connection, I'm talking about the liberal mainstream media, because that's all they're doing. They're trying to make that connection to President Trump. Have y'all heard? They've already blamed President Trump for what happened at Pelosi's home. They're already doing it. I'm pretty sure many of y'all have heard about it. They're blaming President Trump, right? Instead of them talking about us possibly ending up in World War III, things escalating, they want us to be distracted about Paul Pelosi. And of course, I talked about it because I want people to know what they're doing.
Wow. So I just want to read this real quick. There's breaking news out of Jerusalem. It says Netanyahu is predicted to win the Israel election.
Wow. Predicted the win.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that he's probably going to get it because they know who he is and they know what he's done in the past, right? They see Benjamin Netanyahu
as the
Trump in Israel.
Yes, if him and Trump got back in power, wow.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
We'll see a tremendous change.
I get goosebumps.
We'll see a tremendous change.
Yeah, because
one thing I didn't like about him is that he made the phone call. But I understand he did it for diplomatic reasons.
He's a world leader.
He's a world leader. I understand why
Trump
he did it.
Trump would have done the same thing.
I just don't really care for it. Or Trump probably just wouldn't even call. But he reached out and told Joe Brandon, congratulations. Congratulations on cheating, basically getting away with it. But they don't know all the ins and outs. He has more stuff to worry about than watching videos of them cheating here, which there's multiple videos out there. Just like right now, they're trying to go after the people who created the documentary 2000 Mules. And the reason why they're going after them is because they want to shut them down. We talked about it briefly.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to tell you how big this is for Netanyahu, though. This is literally like Trump being reelected for president.
Yes.
That's how huge this is in Israel.
Because they have him tied up in the court systems there as well.
They sure do.
They're trying to make it where he cannot go. They're making up fraudulent stuff about him left and right. Got him tied up in the court system. Oh, speaking of that, there's actually good news about Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. There's actually good news about
temporary
Trump.
Temporary good news.
It's temporary good news, but it's good news because, what it is, they were trying to get him, President Trump, up. They were trying to prevent him from being able to announce that he's going to run for 2024. And they're trying to bring charges up against him, and they're trying to go after him for his taxes. And the Supreme Court said, no, you can't do it. You're not going to be able to release this to a total communist committee in Congress. They said no to it. Right. So now they're upset because they're saying President Trump, he got away again. He got away. They're trying to figure out every kind of way they can to take out President Trump. And I do have an audio clip of MSDNC actually talking about this very thing. And you know what? They're just so upset about it. Listen to this.
Breaking news. The Supreme Court just temporarily blocked former President Donald Trump's tax records from being given to a House committee. Joining us now, NBC News Supreme Court reporter Lawrence Hurley. Lawrence, good morning. What does this mean?
Well, what this means is that the lower court ruling that allowed for these tax returns to be handed over to the House Ways and Means Committee is now temporarily put on hold, and that was going to go into effect on Thursday, which would have meant that, imminently those materials would be handed over to the committee, possibly, before the election or before the potential changeover of Congress. But now that's all put on hold. The Chief Justice is saying he wants to hear from the committee in response to Trump's emergency request, and that's not going to be due until November the 10th. So everything is now frozen until the committee makes its response, and then the Supreme Court probably as a whole will decide whether to grant Trump's request.
So do you think they're going to have enough days, 7 days now, for them to make a response and get it out there before this midterm election?
Because they'll make sure they do.
You think so? You think they're going to do it? They're going to rush it through the next 48 hours just to get it out there? But you know what? It has to go back, right? They don't have to go back for them to review it again, right? But will they have time? Well, if it goes back to the court, right? That's my understanding. It goes back to the court. But will the court have time?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, but listen, the attention isn't really before November 8th, right? It's really before he can...
Before he announces that he's running for 2024.
Because once they announce he's running for president, all investigations stop, basically.
It's supposed to. Except for, in 2016, it didn't. They were making up stuff in 2016.
True.
Spying on him in 2016.
Yeah.
And if we think that they won't spy on Trump again, we're sadly mistaken. They're probably spying on him right now.
Yeah. Because we reported yesterday that
because I know when Mar-a-Lago, they said after the FBI came to Mar-a-Lago, they had to do a sweep for bugs. And allegedly, they found some.
Seriously?
Yes. Allegedly, they found some.
Allegedly?
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah, I want to say it that way. Because I wasn't there. I didn't see the bugs, but it's been reported that they actually found some bugs there. So,
it wouldn't surprise me. Will it surprise you?
No, not at all.
No.
I mean, they've the FBI.
And that's a sad thing.
I think the FBI, they're still trying to find the documents that President Trump has on them.
Yeah.
And that's what they're looking for.
And, you know, that's the whole thing. Who do we trust anymore? I mean,
the DOJ?
People...
Nope. The FBI? Nope. There are good men and women in those organizations. It's just the ones that's running it and control. They're completely corrupt.
I mean, the Democrats
100%.
Have literally made us have no trust in elections, no trust in the FBI, no trust in the DOJ, no trust in the IRS.
No.
Right?
With 87,000 armed agents coming after us, the small business owner?
You know, it's funny because I was talking to my brother today, who is a CPA in Southern California, big CPA firm. He's one of the managers. And he was talking about, you know, they just came out of one of the tax seasons. Business is year round, but the biggest one just ended. And he was saying, but you know, the big thing is usually I go on vacation and stuff. He said he can't. You know why? Because the admins now are bringing down all the stuff. They have to go through equity training and diverse training and all this stuff that has been handed down through the Biden administration, where he's mandating these businesses. You know, it's even on OSHA now. One of the OSHA compliances is you have to have this equity and diversion training. And he's like,
equity, really?
Yeah. And he said, you know, he said, the sad thing is when I first started working in this industry, it wasn't really a thing. We were doing numbers, taxes.
Shouldn't it only be numbers?
Right. And he's now we have this whole other big thing that we're having to deal with and roll out. And he's like, it has nothing to do
with
really
numbers,
with our day-to-day functioning of our business. He's like, and we're tired. He's like, we got a lot. He's like, all the tax codes have been just downloaded onto us and all this stuff. He's like, we're working harder than ever before and they have to deal with this now. And he's like, he really is just burdened by it. You know what I mean? And it just opens up these whole cans of worms, mm-hmm. right? You know what I mean? Because then you start making people feel like, oh, well, if that happened to me, I'm a victim. And so then, you know, it's just like a whole bunch of stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Can we talk about the government attacking we the people? Can we talk about the government censorship against we the people? Can we talk about how the government used big tech, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook to censor the American people? I want y'all to listen to this report here. And Tucker actually talked about this. Remember Biden's Ministry of Truth? You remember that? Where they tried to say they were coming out combating disinformation. Well, I didn't even realize this, but the lady that was just fired from Twitter, she was having frequent meetings with the Biden regime.
Yeah, this is just further proof that the Biden administration is working to censor the American people.
Yes.
They're censoring free speech.
Yes, they're violating
and they're utilizing
our rights.
These companies that say that free speech isn't really a thing on their platform, right? Because they're a business.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But yet they're colluding with the government. Ridiculous.
Yep. Listen.
Earlier this year, the Department of Homeland Security established its own Ministry of Truth. It was so ridiculous it had to be disbanded almost immediately. The woman running it was so far out, she was a parody and discredited the censorship movement. But that doesn't mean DHS has stopped trying to censor you. Oh, they are. You just didn't know about it. Thanks to The Intercept, which just obtained many years of internal documents from DHS, we know that companies like Facebook and Twitter have been working closely with the Biden administration to, quote, curb speech that the administration doesn't approve of. Emails also show that Twitter's top censor, Vijay Gotti, who's just fired by Elon Musk, met every month with the Biden administration censors at DHS to talk about new ways to get you to shut up in unconstitutional fashion.
Every month, Shannon, she was visiting, communicating with the Biden regime to censor the American people.
I mean, does that surprise you?
Look, I mean, that's disgusting.
Look what Zuckerberg said.
Yeah.
You know how
the FBI came to them and told them to shut down the Hunter Biden laptop.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. We have a phone call. Let's go to Wendy from Georgia. Hey, Wendy, thank you so much for the call.
Hey, Will, and hey, Shannon.
Hey.
I'm the one that called y'all the other day and told y'all I was probably going to call you every day, although I haven't, and I apologize for that. But I wanted to ask you guys, have y'all got you a surfboard, and are y'all ready for that big red wave? We're going to ride it.
Well, you know what? I'm looking forward to the big red wave, but I don't want to say it's going to be a tsunami just yet, because we know what the left is capable of, right? We know what they're capable of. We know what they will do. And that's why they're trying to convince everybody right now to go out and early vote, because if you go out and early vote, they can tally up what they need to do. Like the extra, you know, extra carts, like we've seen in the videos, like they pull them from up under the table. Here's some extra ones. We'll make it up. So I'm a little concerned about that. But me personally, I'm going to vote the day of. But if there is no cheating at all, zero cheating, the Democrats will lose.
They need to lose, because this country needs them to lose.
I agree. Yes,
ma'am. We can't survive.
Yeah, it's really interesting. There's this article on ABC News. It's called Tracking Early Vote. If you guys want to look it up, it's NBCNews.com, Politics, 2022 Elections, Early Vote. And it shows state by state who's done early voting. You know, like in particular.
So they're showing the Democrats and the Republicans.
Right.
So they're getting this data already, so they know how much they probably need to make up.
Right. Now, they're not showing how they voted, though. Right. So it's really interesting. Like in Indiana, 41% Democrats have voted, but 48 GOP have voted. That's kind of an odd number, because in most places, the Democrats, like let's take, for instance, Pennsylvania, a huge state right now, right? For Fetterman, Oz, and some other big positions, 72% of the Democrats have voted, while only 20% of the GOP have voted.
Only 20%. But
yeah,
but it's not saying how they voted. It's just saying
it does not.
It's just saying the Democrat voted, but they're not saying how they voted.
Right, right. So a lot of Republicans are saying they want to come out and vote the day of.
So what do you think?
I've heard y'all
go ahead, Wendy.
No, I've heard y'all talk about that and other people talk about that, and unfortunately I already voted. But
Well, that's okay. I mean, we're just saying that this is, you know, this year is kind of unprecedented, right? I mean, even the chairman of the RNC is saying, you know, there's a lot of Democrats. They're noted as a Democrat, but they're saying that they're going to vote Republican. So it's going to be interesting to see who the percentage of who got votes versus the party percentages in the state.
Yeah, that's what I'll be looking at. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. But I'm with you, Wendy. With all the stuff that these evil people have done to our country, attacking our children with the borders, with the gas, with the energy, just so much endless spending, they need to go away. They truly need to go away.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If we want our country to remain a country, these evil Democrats, they have got to go away, or we're going to lose our country forever. 100%.
And we know, like y'all were talking about, the way they do, that's just a Democrat playbook.
Yes, oh, absolutely.
It is. 100%.
But they won't admit it. I mean, you know, they accuse us of being election deniers when they were election deniers.
Yeah, They still are. Absolutely. Yeah. So,
well, thanks for the call, Wendy. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Wendy.
Hey, we appreciate you guys, for real.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
I wish I could get up there and do that. You're welcome. Y'all have a good one. I'm going to keep listening. Nicole will get maybe tomorrow.
All right. Will do. Take care.
So we'll listen to this. There's actually a report today on the New York Post. And Will, I know how you feel about polls. Will, you know, and I'm the same way, or I think all of us are a little bit skeptical.
Yeah.
About polls,
you know,
right?
I look at the polls, but I question them a lot.
Right.
Go ahead.
Naturally, I understand.
Right.
That. But right now in New York, they are saying that Zeldin, according to polls, has a slight lead over Hochul in New York governor race.
That's nice. Well, I mean, because think about what she just said. So last night on Facebook, I did a broadcast. I did it on YouTube and Twitch even, Spreedly and Rumble and Getter. I was doing this live last night, and I played this video of Hochul, right? That's her name?
Hochul.
I showed a video where she was on there saying what she was on with Al Sharpton. Actually, let me cue that up so I can play that for everyone who hasn't heard that. Because she was actually on there. Oh, I don't have it. I get it, but she was actually on there saying
down 15% overall.
Yeah, you cannot believe she was telling people that you cannot believe what they're saying about the crime that we're seeing. And it's kind of frustrating to me. How many of you actually think that the crime is not that bad, right? She literally saying that the crime is not bad. So I do actually have it here. Let me play it for you. Listen to what she says. And she said this on Al Sharpton, and he just goes right along with it. And he builds it up. Listen to what he says. He builds it up, then tries to make it look like that it's just the right wing, right wingers that's talking about the violence, and it's not even real. Listen.
I don't think anyone has been stronger in many states on dealing with gun control and working with communities. I remember when you were lieutenant governor, you used to show up everywhere with the anti-crime folks. So, I mean, is this just a distorted way of campaigning? I mean, what do you read into this?
Governor Al, these are master manipulators. They have this conspiracy going all across America to try and convince people that in Democratic states they're not as safe. Well, guess what? They're also not only election deniers, they're data deniers. The data shows that shootings and murders are down in our state by 15%, even in New York City, down 20% on Long Island, where Lee Zeldin comes from. And it's the Republican states where they have almost no restrictions on guns. Because of the abundance of guns, people are killing each other with more frequency. The safer places are the Democratic states. So,
I couldn't believe it when I first heard it. I'm like, she actually didn't sit there and say that. And it reminds me when she was on the debate stage with Zeldin, when she said, why are you so concerned about the crime? Why are you so concerned? I don't know why you're so concerned about that.
Why are you so hung up on it?
Really?
Yeah.
Really? And you know what? You notice how she focuses on guns, right? She focuses in on guns. And the only reason why she focuses on guns, because you have places like Texas, Arizona, and a few other places that have constitutional carry, where you can open carry, where you can have a firearm to protect yourself.
Well, let me ask you something. And just to be clear, you know, when she talks about Republican states, listen, we have some cities here where crime is on the rise, or typically a Republican state, but guess where the crime is high at? In our Democratic run cities like Austin, crime is up. Houston, crime is up. So yeah, you can, you know, that it's very dependent on those little cities and stuff like that. So when she says that, you might want to break it down a little bit, Hochul, to really find out what the real facts are. If you're so driven by facts. But I looked up what she was saying, and to be honest, what has happened, there's been a shift in New York, Will. So like in the Bronx, crime has gone down, but you know what's happening is the crime is overflowing into the entire state. So cities that didn't see high crime are actually seeing crime now, because those people are saying, hey, we don't have to just hurt each other here in the Bronx. We're going to go.
We can adventure out.
Yeah, let's venture
because
out.
Because if I get caught, I get Cassius Bell and I'll be right back out.
So overall, crime is actually up 26% in New York, according to the statistics. Up to August of 2022.
But why are you so concerned about that? You shouldn't be concerned about the violence, the crime.
I challenge her to sit here and show her facts. Where show me the repeated stories about high crimes in Republican-led cities.
Yeah, but that's what
states.
They do. You know, they'll mouth off something.
They do. They mouth off a lot of stuff.
Mouth breathers, right? They'll say something, and you just should just believe it. No tangible proof, no facts, no video, no audio clip, no nothing. Just believe it. Like, that's why I'm always showing people video clips on the different things that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So then that way people will see, well, Will is saying this, well, show it to me. And then I show it to them.
Well, Will, you know, I'm interested because there's actually an article that I read today. It was on Fox News and it was titled Conservative Outrage Sells Better Than Liberal Satire, New York Times columnist on failing left-wing comedy. So he's talking about...
So they're
about,
upset. So basically they're saying Will Johnson getting upset because it is Democrats, because what they're doing to our country, what they're doing to our children, what they're doing to our planet. And they say that my outrage is getting more attention than their satire.
Yeah, so like Greg Gutfeld, his show's skyrocketing.
Yeah, he's killing all of the late night comedy, the late night satire, the late night anti-American shows. Yes,
those shows are failing in their ranking, and they're like, "Why is that happening?" And I'm sort of thinking, "You don't get it.
They don't get it.
They don't get it. If they're really, you know what? People are tired of the rhetoric. They know that that is being largely driven by the left.
It's you know who on the left is the getting right. it though? Bill Maher.
Oh.
No, seriously, Bill Maher.
I get what you're saying.
And he's like, he's slowly coming in, you know, but because he's been saying some stuff like the liberals, the Democrats, he said they're stupid. They're really, truly stupid, talking about men having babies. He's even addressed that. He said, you can't do that.
Yeah, and CNN, there's a report today saying that morale at CNN is at an all-time low, that people are absolutely miserable.
Why do I like that? Why do I like that? Why do I find that pleasing? Is that bad of me?
You know what? What do they say? What's that saying? Like, you reap what you sow.
Yep.
You drown in your own misery.
Maybe, you know, if they stop doing all of the lies, the rhetoric, pushing January the 6th. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Pelosi's home was attacked. It's January the 6th, 2.0.
What lie really? Can we tell? Well, how can we spin this? How can we make the Republicans look bad?
Yeah.
At first, those shows I call talk shows. I don't even call those satire. News channels.
MSDNC, satire. They're satire too. I mean, seriously. They're making up stuff, trying to convince everybody that will watch that crap to believe it. Now, the only reason why I watch it, because I get it and share stuff with you. For example, I have one I want to share with you now. It's a short clip, okay, everybody? This is one with Rachel Maddow. This is what I call her. Her name is Rachel Maddow, but I got her nickname, Rachel Maddow. And listen to what she says about the Republicans.
Oh, my gosh.
She literally saying, okay.
I can't contain myself. Listen to this,
everybody. Brace yourself. She's going to say that the Republicans don't want elections. If that is true, then why are Republicans out right now campaigning? Why are Republicans even getting involved in the election if they don't like elections?
She's really their top ranking show.
Yeah. Yeah. So and actually hers been cut down.
Well, by her choice though.
Yeah.
I think she's only one night a week.
It's something like that.
But boy, she fills it up.
Rachel
Maddow. Listen to this, people.
Lies. Listen.
So ridiculous.
In this election, a clear majority of Republican candidates for congressional and statewide offices say election results should no longer count. They do not believe in election results. Even below that level, in state legislative races, look, clear majorities of Republican candidates in those races in the swing states, they say election results shouldn't count. They don't believe them. We shouldn't use elections anymore. If they do not want us to have elections anymore, don't kid yourself that there is another good option. It is democracy or it's not. And if it's not, it's violence and force.
You hear that? She says violence and force. Now, let me say this.
I just want one clip where she found where some Republicans said, we don't want elections. She can't produce it.
Well, she's mouthing it off again. She's mouthing it off, literally saying it. And you know, talking about violence and force, let me tell everybody right now, and this is something that everyone should be really concerned about. They're going to be violent if they don't get what they want. They were violent after President Trump. You notice the left, there was no violence after the 2020.
After Biden.
The 2020 in November, there was no violence, right? There was no violence. November 9th in 2020, there was no violence.
No.
There was no violence. And after November 8th in 2016, there was violence. On the 9th.
Oh, absolutely.
There was violence the next day. When they saw that Trump won, there was
Trump
violence.
When Trump was getting inaugurated that
when
day.
When they gave it to Biden, there was no violence. People showed up on January the 6th because they wanted their grievances heard. And they used that today talking about violence. They even said it was worse than 9/11. See how they're spinning it?
You and I even said, or I asked you earlier, what do you think is going to happen if the Democrats
lose? I've actually had someone else ask me that question today. Will, what do you think is going to happen?
We get a red tsunami.
Republicans win. What do you think is going to happen? Yeah. And I said, violence. Yeah, we know that there's going to be violence.
People will be so angry. And you know why? Because those people have been told that they're victims.
Yep.
And those people have been told that they need to be scared for our democracy. Literally, the liberals have created the situation where people will want to be violent. They won't admit it. They'll say that it's the Republicans, but they can't give you one proof that we are getting people riled up and wanting to be violent. Yep. That's not true. When we talk about elections, Will, what is the number one thing that Republicans want when we talk about elections? We don't want to get rid of them. In fact, we want to enshrine and protect our vote. We actually want to protect the Electoral College. What does the Democrats want
Democrats,
to do?
They want to get rid of the filibuster. They want to get rid of the Electoral College. They want to make D.C. and Puerto Rico state so they can add more Democrat senators. They're wanting to undermine our elections. Yeah, and they don't even hide the fact that's what they want to do. They don't even hide it.
They don't.
They don't hide it at all.
You know, they're saying, they do a lot of talk saying we're the ones for elections. Listen, you know what their idea?
You know, wait a minute. They say that they're for democracy. Yeah, they when say the that. Democrats are not for democracy. Right. And
they want people more should not refer to
them. People should not refer to them as the Democratic Party because nothing about them is democratic. Nothing. Listen to the rest of Rachel Maddow here.
This is the year. This is the election when your vote, up and down to the very bottom of the ballot, is an answer to this one question. Is it democracy or is it force and violence? Our vote this year is about whether we ever get to vote again. This is not the year to sit out.
You hear this? What in the world? This, she said, this election is going to decide if we ever get to vote again. What is she talking about?
Yeah.
What in the world is she referring to?
Yeah,
please show some evidence. Show us something where that comes into play. Yeah. I'm like, what? Wow.
Yeah, I'm sorry we put you all through that. But listen, I know, you know, some people are like, oh, we're not a democracy, we're a republic.
We're a constitutional republic.
We are. But listen, when it comes to these state elections, it's all about democracy. It's about the popular vote.
See, this is what it is.
Right.
We are a constitutional republic, and we have a democracy.
Correct.
See, that's where a lot of people get mixed up. Democrats try to say we are a democracy. No, we have democracy. That's the difference.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. And so, when, you know, the Democratic or the vote comes in our state elections. So, you know, there's one reason why the Supreme Court put the vote for Roe versus Wade type situations back to the states, because that's actually where the popular vote works. That's where democracy works the best, because more people get to vote
and it's constitutional. And it's constitutional.
Yeah,
it was unconstitutional 50 years ago when they put it that way.
Yeah,
it was unconstitutional then. And all they did was say, no, you know what? We need to put this back to the Constitution.
Right.
That's their job, to make sure that the Constitution stays in place.
So, well, I want to bring this up too. You know, we talked about that you played the video where it was talking about how
big tech
is colluding with our government. Well, listen, there's an article on Fox News right now that it says big tech and Democratic voters spending big to elect independent Senate candidate in a deep red state. And here's the thing. This happens to be in Utah, but big tech, they are investing in people as well. They are all in politics. They are very political. And so I'm really looking for our government to do something about them. You know, just today, Will, the FCC is asking our government to ban TikTok, because TikTok
They are an open door for China to spy on the United States of America and the Biden regime, the Democrats. They don't want to prevent it. Why? Because they are controlled and owned by China.
Yeah. It's an article on Fox Business. It says FCC Commission urges U.S. government to ban TikTok. It says it has hundreds of millions U.S. users, and all that information is being sent back to Beijing and the Chinese Communist.
You said they have hundreds of millions. There's only 320 plus million people in America.
Well, there's over 100 million. So
320 million people plus. Yeah. Right. The last time I looked at it was 320 million. If they have hundreds of millions of people, I mean, That's more than half the population.
Yeah. And then you have all these illegals.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, there is that too.
Who knows what our population is? Yeah, at this point?
I mean, we're just 4 million since Biden walked through the doors.
Yeah, but anyways, I mean, these big tech companies, and you know what, Will, you've really brought it to light that that's why they hate Twitter. They hate Twitter because Twitter was even colluding with the government, and now Elon Musk is basically transferring the power of the people's voice
back to the people.
Yeah.
Back to the people, basically. Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, I actually put a comment on Twitter, and you know, the left, they, you know, because of shadow banning, the algorithms are still in place on Twitter. A lot of people are still not seeing my comments on Twitter. And I'm still hoping that my other account will still come alive here. But as of right now, it's not. My other account, I put a comment on there and I made this statement. Now, a lot of people probably don't like this statement, but I'm going to read it to you anyways. So listen to this statement. This is what I said. It took another white man to set black people free.
He's African-American, though.
Yeah, but he's white, right?
Yeah.
And I said, thank you, Elon Musk. This time, Elon Musk setting all people's voices free, a.k.a. all lives matter. And then I said, hashtag, let that sink in.
Don't let that sink in.
So, yeah, you know what? If you are on Twitter, connect with me on Twitter. You know what? We actually need to update our website for, you know, to connect with Will to this Twitter account.
Okay.
So when people go there, they can, because it's really easy. www.uaf.media, you can connect with Will. So I need to update that because the old Twitter account was connected to it. So hopefully, maybe if you make the change on the website, then they'll go ahead and enable it. Then we'll have to make a change back.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. We'll see. Either way. Hey, everybody, I want to thank you so much for being here today, this evening. Thank you so much for all of the support. I see the Podbeans. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. Because of you, we are listener supported. We need your help. Thank you so much.
And subscribe if you haven't subscribed.
Yeah, subscribe. Yet. Subscribe. That's free. UniteAmericaFirst.com/donation. Thank you so much, everybody. We will see you tomorrow, 5 p.m. Central. God bless, everybody. Take care.